during the 19th century, the latter part of the 19th century. She's also known as the Little Flower. A lot of us know her as children. We grew up with great love. Many of us have great love for Teresa Lisieux because of her humility and her great devotion to Jesus Christ. Her obedience, to be sure, allowed us to really imitate her or try to imitate her as well. She had a very interesting life. She was the youngest of many children, several children, spoiled to be sure. She was doted on and was favored of her mom and dad. Her mom and dad were very holy, very pious people. She wanted to enter the Carmelites very early on in life. She went to the parish priest. He didn't think it was a good idea. To the bishop, finally went to Rome. Went to a bishop of Rome who was able to let her into the Carmelite convent. And it was a place that was not the best as far as atmospheres, as far as houses. There was a lot of division in the convent, and there was a lot of animosity, a lot of groups, and one group of sisters trying to best out the other group of sisters. It wasn't always the healthiest environment. But Teresa openly came in there as one who was full of love, full of joy. And whatever job she was given, and lots of times she was given the worst possible job. She was given things that were not always desirable by the other sisters. But whatever task she had, she did so with a sense of great joy, sense of great love. She wanted to do the best she could in everything that she did as well. And some of the sisters were very cruel to her. They were oftentimes mean and nasty to her, but her response was always one of love. She never responded in meanness. She never responded with the same kind of cruelty that she received. She was always one that spoke kindly of everyone, prayed for everyone. She took whatever task was given to her with a sense of obedience, great sense of joy. She honored that sense of humility. She worked always towards holiness, towards sacrificing, towards charity as well. It's the kind of life that she lived, to be sure. And that's really our call as well. Our call is a call to holiness. The Second Vatican Council talked about that in its documents, that we are called to be holy people, not just nice people, not just people who smile a lot and pray once in a while, but we are called to a life of holiness. That's the task of all of us, that we're called to be saints by the way we live our lives. That's what Leviticus talks about today. Leviticus says that we as a people are to be holy as the Lord is holy. Now, in Luke's gospel, Luke says that we are called to be merciful as the Father is merciful. And Matthew talks about being perfect as the Father is perfect. And all of these, in Leviticus and Luke and Matthew, says, seek the Lord, seek God in heaven, seek the Father, seek the one who has made us and has redeemed us and constantly walks in our lives, constantly lifts us up out of lowliness and brokenness. That's the kind of life that we need to live for, that we need to strive for by our very lives as well. Not to be formed by instincts, and so often our instincts are for retaliation or for vengeance, but to emulate our God in treating one another with reverence and mercy and goodness and kindness and charity, always working out of love for one another, just as God has loved us. In our world today, it's very obvious that Christ and the things of Christ Jesus are seen as useless. The demons of our world and of our hearts seduce us into thinking that the ways of God cannot be followed. So many times we hold on to grudges, like they're going to do some good for us. We hold on to those things as if they were something sacred, something very, very awesome. We hold them close to our hearts, and we always act out of these grudges. We refuse to forgive people. We refuse to reconcile with one another. We respond with viciousness or hate or anger or animosity. We see that in social media. If you go on any so many of these places that we have, or go on news sites and look at the commentary, and so much of that is filled with meanness and nastiness towards people around us, towards different groups of people, towards different scenarios and situations. Any kind of public discourse is always filled with ugliness and consternation towards one another and about one another as well. And that's, to be sure, not the godly way of living. That's not the way that we are called to be. St. Peter, in the letter of St. Peter, says that our words need to be pondered and reflected upon in the light of Jesus Christ. And he says to us, offer a blessing rather than a curse. I've always liked that line. And one of my favorite songs, it's an oldie but a goodie, where charity and love prevail, their God is ever found. And when I think about those phrases and those challenges in our very life as well, because if we live out our faith, if we live out according to our baptismal promises, according to our call to be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, well, that means that we need to be countercultural. And that's a hard thing to do. It's a radical way of faith, a radical way of living. It's not how society wants us to live. If we are injured or wronged or violated in some way, we're called to poke each other in the eye or trip each other or kick each other in the shins or say mean and nasty things about one another. And that's not the way of Jesus Christ. Even with the apostles, that Jesus Christ, as they get things wrong and ask the wrong questions, Jesus Christ doesn't look at them and say, you dumbheads, but rather, he helps them understand. He offers them compassion and kindness. He lifts them up out of their ignorance, out of their misgivings, out of their waywardness, and sets them right. It's the way we ought to live as well. So be perfect just as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Because Jesus is not changing the law, but rather he wants us to even intensify what we follow. It's not enough simply not to kill. We really shouldn't be mean and angry with one another. We need to be truthful, not just not to tell lies, but our whole life needs to be one of truthfulness. And the way that we are challenged by one another, if someone asks for a mile, we go 2 miles. If they want our coat, we give them our tunic as well. And that's the way we live in a community, and we live in communion with one another as well. Jesus Christ asks his listeners, as he says, you have heard it said, what I say to you, go farther, go deeper into this law, look at that and stretch it apart, dissect it. What's the law really asking us to do? How is it asking us to respond to one another out of reverence and peacefulness, out of goodness and reconciliation? And that's the way we ought to live. And to be sure, we aren't called to be doormats. Because we have our integrity and dignity as well. We're not called to be dish rags, because that's not right either. We can't just sort of roll over and lay down on our backs. That's not the way we live. But rather, we live for and with one another. We seek commonality and goodness. We seek justice and peace with and for one another. To seek out to live in truth, the gospel, just as God calls us to love God and to love one another. The readings today are fantastic, they're magnificent readings. And each one of them speaks to us of holiness. That in the end, we are called to be holy, to let the divine life that God imparts in each and every one of us to be part of our whole life, our whole being, everything that we're about. And that holiness should set us apart, not somehow set us above everything else in the world, but sets us apart. Where people come to see and recognize the good way that we live, the holy way that we live, and are so enamored with it, are so attracted to it, that they too seek to live out of the holiness of life. To be holy is to love with a divine indifference, shining on the good and the bad alike. And that's a revolution, if you will, a radical way of living out our faith. And think of how different the world would be if each and every one of us strove to live out a life of compassion and kindness, generosity, reconciliation and kindness, charity and chastity, lifting people up out of their lowliness and restoring them to what is right and righteous, just and peaceable. rather than measuring out our light, our love based on merit, as God does. Not as God loves us with mercy and love, but rather we love each other as God does. We dedicate our whole life to love and to be holy. And in that way, we are set apart as a sanctuary worthy of God's presence. Amen.